Welcome to the Court Report. I'm Jerry Price, and I'm here with Princeton women's basketball coach Courtney Banghart. And coach, welcome.
Thanks, Jerry.
So first thing I would have to say is that we have absolutely nothing to talk about because your team didn't play last week and they don't play this week because we're in the middle of first semester exams. Well, we have nothing basketball to talk
about. Right.
So we've
got lots of breadth and depth, you and
I. So I figured one place I'm going to start, well, start at the beginning. Princeton did not play last week because of first semester exams, does not play this weekend, but does play the following weekend at Yale and at Brown.
Yep.
But where I'm going to start is something that you tweeted that you went, your uncle is a pilot and he gave you a ride.
Yeah, man, that was pretty awesome. So my uncle's been flying for like 50 years. He's got a little four-seater Cirrus plane and I've actually never been in it because I don't really strive to fly in small airplanes. And I had to go on a recruiting trip up north and he was like, hey, how about I fly you? Because it was in his hometown. He said, I'm going to fly you. So sure enough, it was a pretty sweet recruiting trip.
What was it like?
Man, it was awesome. So I thought it'd be a lot more bumpy and, you're flying through, we went right over the Tappan Zee Bridge. I got to see the reconstruction from up top, went through, could see New York City. And it took an hour and 12 minutes on a drive that would have taken me through, New York City, New Haven, Hartford, Springfield. So, that part was heavenly.
Was there any part of that where you were concerned or?
I was concerned before getting in, and I was sort of like weighing my options here, and I was like, it's certainly way better than that drive, the downfall. So I thought immediately, actually, how much longer until I get my pilot's license?
Are you thinking about that? Didn't you put that in the tweet?
I did, yeah. I think it takes a lot of hours. The problem with a pilot's license is I probably can't use it unless I have a plane. And based on what I was looking at in the plane, that's a lot of money that I'm not sure I have yet.
You should put it in your next contract.
That's true. Molly better get ready because, or anybody out there listening who has about a four-seater out there that would like me to learn how to fly it on, I'm ready.
So your uncle decides that he's going to take you up in his plane.
Yeah.
Short of the saving time, like, did you get a real sense of what goes into flying a plane?
Yeah. I mean, holy. And he's a really chill guy. He's been to Everest, and he's always been a really adventurous guy. And I've always been very, very close. And, watching him be so organized and safe and because he's usually pretty laid back was really special. I mean, there was gadgets and meter readings and maps, and he was trying to show me and all the communication he was having with the air traffic control. It was really a pretty cool experience.
My old next door neighbor was a pilot. He flew for Pan Am for 40 years. He was he was this short guy who flew 747s, and he would tell stories about when their plane would get he lost an engine or their turbulence was bad, and I'd be like, oh my God, what'd you do? And he's like, we just, turned around or we landed at the next airport.
Yeah.
It was no big deal. And you're on the plane and all these things are happening and you're thinking to yourself about how you're we're all going to, the plane's going to fall out of the sky.
Yeah.
And the pilot's up in front and he's like, yeah, it's no big deal. I do this all the time.
Well, he pointed to the ceiling and he said, actually, this plane has the whole plane has a parachute. Not just for a human, but for the whole entire plane. So apparently that makes it a little bit safer. But interestingly, the university, assumed no liability, which is, I guess, very normal at institutions, that if it's not a vetted charter flight. And I said, that's okay. Insurance, I don't think it's going to help too much if something happens.
Yeah. The one thing I remember what he told me about was the wings on the plane, commercial jetliner, the wings are designed to almost go to a 90-degree angle before they would break. So and he said that there's places in the world that you fly that are notorious for the wind and they become very bumpy and the wings start to bend a little bit and everybody on the plane gets panicked. But he's like, they're designed to bend to almost 90 degrees before they'll snap, which
I was on a flight. I was on a flight recruiting this morning and, they say it wasn't a full flight. So they say, hey, if you're going to move your seat, wait until everyone's on. But please make sure you ask us first because of weight and balance. And I'm thinking, this is a 40-ton piece of metal, and you're worried about my 100 and, 30-pound frame moving to the left.
One on one side and two on the other?
It was two and two.
Okay.
I was thinking, seriously? But, yeah.
I was on one of those planes last week, and I was in Indiana for the NCAA Honors Convention because David Morrow from the men's lacrosse team won the Silver Anniversary Award.
First
Princeton alum ever to win that award. It recognizes somebody for athletic excellence as an undergraduate and then career success.
Oh, very cool.
On the 25th anniversary of their graduation from college. And I was on, it was one of those jets that had two planes. Going there, it had one on one side and two on the other. And coming back, it had two and on each side. And there was nobody sitting next to me. We took off and I was like, oh, this is cool. I'm going to have the whole thing to myself in about you know, like the captain hadn't even turned the seatbelt sign off. And then this woman moved from her seat into the seat next to me.
Ooh, Jerry.
But it was Molly.
Oh, okay. That's even better.
She didn't wait till they turned the seatbelt sign off. And then she complained it was too cold on her side of the plane. So I ended up sitting next to Molly. I was pretty fascinated by that. Your uncle flying you like that.
Yeah, that seems like something that doesn't usually come out of someone's mouth. I totally get that.
I want to make sure I got that right. So, you know, you're on the road recruiting and you're watching games. And do you think to yourself, or do you talk to other coaches who you know, everybody else is in the middle of, like, you know, the heat of the moment here. And you're, I don't want to say you're not busy, but you're not, you know, coaching games or preparing for games. It's unique.
It is unique. You know, it's, but, you know, yesterday I spent a lot of time while I was traveling talking to WNBA head coaches for Blake Dietrich, who's getting ready to get ready for some WNBA training camps. So you just, it's amazing what, how much work this little round leather ball requires. You know, I keep thinking every year, I think, well, when it gets to be January, I'll get time to read and I'll get time to, and there's just always something to do, you know, as we think about our own teams and our alums and what they're doing. And we've got an alumni weekend in February that we're preparing for. And yeah, it's always something.
So did you see the video on GoPrincetonTigers.com about Carly Littlefield?
I did. Yeah, good job, right? Me, Leslie, we were like stars.
Yeah, it was Cody Cruchel.
He's got the best voice for these things. I keep telling him that.
We were actually just talking about that most people who are in broadcasting, their voice in everyday speech does not match their broadcast voice. But with Cody, it's
the
same exact voice.
Exactly. Yeah, no, he's really good.
I remember we interviewed him and called him on the phone. And you know, the first thing I was like, are you like really talk like that? And then when I got to actually meet him, I was like, that's his actual voice.
Yeah. I thought one thing that came out of that video that I thought was really profound was when Leslie said, you know, she really wishes she had attacked her freshman year the way that Carly had. And I think there's real truth to that. But I also, knowing Leslie, she attacks every day that way. It's just some kids are not quite as prepared for the adjustment. And that's what actually I was talking on the phone with a different coach, collegiate coach, with yesterday as well about, you know, some kids you just don't know how they're going to adjust to the college game. And Carly's adjustment has been excellent, clearly.
So I have a couple of questions for you.
Okay.
Well, I'll start back in Indiana. This is actually a question, but have you seen Purdue play men's basketball?
I have.
So I went to their game.
Oh, you did? That's why I played my very last college basketball game.
Oh, that's right. So I was out there, and like I had nothing to do on Tuesday night, and I emailed the guy from Purdue who I never met, and I was like, I'm going to be out there for this NCAA thing.
How awesome.
And I had no idea Purdue was good. I didn't realize.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Good. Yeah.
They're unbelievable.
Yeah, they're unbelievable, and they're big.
But so, yeah, I mean, they have a 7'2 and a 7'3 guy who can play. Yeah. It's big. But the one thing about, and, you know, I saw them, they wiped out Wisconsin in that game. And, like, the whole atmosphere there was great.
Yeah.
And then I saw them on TV the other day, and they made 10 out of 11 threes to start the game against Iowa, and they were up by, like, literally up by 40 at halftime or so. But, like, so one thing I was really struck by them is just how aggressive they are defensively. Like, you know, because Wisconsin is known as a team that takes care of the ball, doesn't turn it over a lot. They average less than 10 turnovers a game, and they turned it over 20 times in that game. And, you know, they called off the dogs, you know, with like 10 minutes to go. So it would have been worse if they kept going. Do you ever watch men's or women's teams and think to yourself, you know, I'm going to take that from them? And
oh, all the time. I mean, my house has notepads literally next to every TV. I'll pick up a baseline out of bounds play or a adjustment that they might have made or a look. All the time. And that's actually what we then name them, unless it's from a team that will be on our schedule, men or women, later on that year.
And when I was watching that game, I was trying to think to myself, like, how would Princeton's guys fit in if they went to Purdue? Like, I think that a kid like Kennedy is perfect for what they're doing. And you know, like I was thinking like Miles Stevens and Amir and Sebastian Much. I think guys like that, you know, maybe not all four of them would go there and start, but I think any one of those four guys could possibly fit into what they're doing. But just to have like a team of like seven or eight of those guys is, you know, just shows you how good that team is.
Because no doubt.
That is not a good matchup for Princeton if it comes to be
those guys
in
are
the
good.
NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, one of my, so that was, one of the things that I wanted to talk about was like, you know, whether you steal stuff from other places. The other thing I saw was I was actually watching during their media timeouts because I was interested in like, you know, are there promotions we could steal and things like that.
But
what I noticed is that instead of doing promotions, they just honored people basically at every timeout, which I thought that was also pretty cool.
Yeah.
But let's get back a little bit. So where are your assistants? your staff, like when you're off like this, what are they doing?
Same thing. So I value their opinion a lot. So when we're sort of vetting certain kids against other kids and kind of how to piece together that next class or class 2 years from now, I want their opinion. So they need to have their eyes on these kids as well. So they're traveling. Basically if I'm on the road, we know we're not practicing. And so those are days that then they will find the right place to be as well. They're also, I know, Milena is dealing with the Yale scout and Carrie's dealing with the Brown scout. So they'll make sure that, I get the film I need before I head back out on the road tomorrow. So they're kind of doing the many things that assistants do.
So one of the other questions I had for you is when you first came here, or now even, were there coaches at Princeton who you drew a lot from?
Yeah, when I first got to Princeton, Jerry, the very first week I was at Princeton, I met with three coaches. I met with Guy Godowski, who was our old ice hockey coach, who's now at Penn State. I met with Bill Tierney, who obviously has had great success here. And I met with Chris Saylor, who had great success here in the women's lacrosse staff, literally the first week. And I asked them all the same question.
Like on purpose, or you sought them out?
I emailed them. Yeah, very much on purpose. And I tried to learn the sort of the key facts that make Princeton unique. I tried to understand the biggest challenges our kids go through in a calendar year. I asked them, who are the people on this campus that really make it move? You know, who are the people are the movers on this place that I need to meet quickly? And, you know, why have you stayed? And not as big of a question of how you've been successful. I garnered that from their answer, but I wanted to get a sense of the culture of the place by the people that, so yeah, those three people I leaned on very early.
And do people lean on you now when they get here?
They do.
How does that make you feel? Like going?
It's great. I mean, I know Lisa Sweeney.
It doesn't seem like that long of a time since you've been here.
So. I know, but it is, man. My 11th season. Lisa Sweeney, our softball coach. Right when she first got here, she walked, you know, three doors down, and I appreciated that she thought I could have something to offer. And now she's won an Ivy title. So
two of them.
Two at least. I was going to say the year I didn't. So
back
I told
to
her I might have to hire her now.
And then.
I actually meet with Matt Matalon every year as well from the men's lacrosse.
He's awesome.
He's a great dude, yeah.
So let's get back to Ivy League basketball. If I am correct, Princeton's the only team that's won on the road?
That's right, okay. Yep.
So everybody else split?
Yeah.
One at home.
Exactly,
lost on the road. Princeton's win at Penn is the only road win.
And then,
Princeton and Penn swept Cornell and Columbia.
Yep, and then Columbia women don't have a win, but everybody else has also at least one win.
So Columbia and Cornell would then play this weekend again.
Mm-hmm.
I think... I looked at it, and I apologize if I'm incorrect, but I'm getting my weekends confused also. But I think there's also, this is Yale Brown, Harvard Dartmouth?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So where, you know, you have a road win, nobody else does, and it's way too early to read anything into any of this stuff, or you pay attention?
I pay attention a lot, yeah. You want to make sure that your loss column looks better than everybody else's. And so the kind of the equation to win the Ivy League, you've got to win them all at home. And you have to win most of them on the road, right? And anytime you win, no game actually counts more than any other. And so you just, every time you can get a road win, that's just one more hard win that you gathered.
Well, your road win is a little better than
That one was heavy.
Winning at Penn against the defending champ, that's, you know.
That was big. Yeah, that was, those are also, that one does weigh a little bit more the history side and the future side. But yeah, we it's too early to focus on kind of the big picture, but one game at a time. And so far for three games, we've done taking care of that.
So how much have you seen your players during exam break?
I think a lot more than people think. The kids want to, yesterday I was trying to get a hold of Kalea for something, and I didn't hear from her for like an hour. So I reached out to her buddy on our team, and I said, can they each get assigned a buddy when they get here? And I said, where's Kalea? And she said, I don't know, I just texted her. And then I get a message from Kalea about, hour and a half later that says, sorry, coach, I was just in the gym. So these kids are in the gym a lot anyway, but I was on the road, so we weren't practicing.
But I would think that would really be helpful. Like, if you're so immersed in studying, to take like an hour
or two
out of it to
shoot. No doubt, to shoot and to, so I've given them sort of the shots they need to work on in January, but we're basically in the 14 days from Dean's date to next month Wednesday, we're on seven, off seven, and then we're kind of on leading up to the first game.
And lastly, before we let you go, the Super Bowl will match the Eagles and
We call it a dynasty. Here's the hard thing about being a Patriots fan. First of all, I'm from the Northeast, so I'm allowed to be a Patriots fan, right? But it's hard. I tell my own players, it's hard to hate on the Patriots because they win all the time, because that's what we're trying to do.
It's easy to hate.
No, because we're trying to win all the time, right? So you can't hate them just because they win all the time. And also, it's like Duke men, or Princeton men. I mean, the excellence, sustained excellence is very different than the flash in the pan. And I have a great respect for the sustained excellence of the Patriots.
I find it easy to hate the Patriots. I found it a little harder to hate the Patriots after I actually spent 5 minutes talking to Bill Belichick at the lacrosse championships last year, and I was really hoping he was going to be a jerk, but he actually was a pretty nice guy.
Yeah.
And I wasn't happy about that.
And you're a Giants fan, so you need to have a team to root for in playoff season.
Yeah, I mean, it's not ideal, but did you get to watch?
Yeah. It was a great game. Holy.
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't any part of that fourth quarter where I didn't think they were going to score twice to win the game.
But one thing I heard during the game about was that people were starting to talk about the Philly game, the Eagles game, and people said, I don't really care about the Eagles one way or the other, but I hate Eagles fans. So I said, why? And this person said, you know, they're just so obnoxious. They're just – and I said, what? Because they're Eagles fans, because they're into their team. Like, that's what makes sports so great. A lot of people that are listening to this are big Princeton Tiger fans. Like, that's what we want. Sports brings kind of polarizing fans. I think that's the beauty of it. There are a lot of people who hate the Patriots, a lot of people that love the Eagles. It's going to be a great game.
One thing I think is pretty interesting is the difference between a team that wins – not every year, but what, they've won five?
Well, together they've gone to eight, so probably, yeah, about five.
But, like, these guys have won five, and then they lost the two to the...
One to the Giants.
No, it was two to the Giants, I'm pretty sure.
Was it two to the Giants?
Yes, it was.
Eli wasn't only the quarterback for one of them,
though. No, he was quarterback twice. I think he was the MVP twice.
Gross. Yeah. Okay.
But on the Eagles, this is only their third Super Bowl. They haven't won one. I mean, I just think the difference is pretty astonishing. Did you see the video of the Eagles fan on the subway platform who was, like, chasing after the train when it was left, and they were all, like, screaming, and he ran right into a pole?
Oh no.
Almost fell under the train, but he didn't. And actually he's been interviewed about a million times now, and he's taken it pretty well, and it's pretty funny.
Oh gosh. Yeah, so I think it'll be a good game. I mean, I think it's to spend your energy hating on Eagles fans or Patriots fans, I think it's cool when you got two teams that are really well supported. I think it'll be fun.
So it'll be the Eagles and the Patriots in the Super Bowl before the Super Bowl. You will play two more times, but that's still...
Two road games, that is.
Yes, but that's still a long way away. So this weekend, nothing. The men are home. Sunday at 1 against Rowan.
Yep.
You don't have a Division III game. You've never had one.
Nope.
So your team is off for another week, and then we will be back in another week, and we'll talk about what it's like to come back from the break, and some of your thoughts about what it's like when you haven't played in 20 days. And
any questions people might have.
And any questions people have, they can just send them in, and we'll be happy to read them. And in the meantime, this was fun. You know, I'm glad that your uncle was able to safely get you there. And,
he's in Florida now. He flew himself down. So yeah,
that would be awesome. That would have to be awesome as you know, you do this all the time. You know, fly commercially, and like, you know, I did it last week, and it's like, you know, all right, you're here, and then like,
wait at the airport gate. Totally. I was like,
your flight is, you're
I called the Princeton airport, and I said, I have a quick question for you. Do I park my car at this airport? How does this work? And the guy was so nice on the phone. He said, how long are you going to stay for? I said, oh, like, you know, 20 hours. He was like, oh gosh, yeah, just park it. No problem. No cost. And I was like, why? What answer do you usually get? And he said, well, I just don't leave it here a month. I was like, I won't.
When I was going to Indianapolis, our flight on the board said on time. It also said the temperature in Indianapolis was -3, and it was.
Gross.
But the whole time it said on time, on time, on time. And as it's getting closer and closer, you notice that there is no plane sitting there. So the plane hasn't come in yet from where it was going.
Right.
But they're still saying on time.
Yeah.
And I was like, if there's no plane, just tell me when it's actually leaving.
Right.
That would
Details.
Be more helpful. So.
Yeah. Well, it does not happen to Jack Air, as we call it.
Courtney Banghart, thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot. Jerry's fun.
This has been the Court Report, and we'll be back next Wednesday and every Wednesday for the rest of the Princeton women's basketball season. Once again, thank you for your support of the Tigers.